Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spots for you, Supervisor Chris Jakubowski in studio with us this morning. Chris, it's been way too long. Good morning.
It has. Good morning. Thank you for having me.
This time of year, but the budget takes a long time.
It does.
In local government, you start really even way before January, but really once January starts, you happy overall with the budget that the county passed this year?
Well, I'm happy it's done. Let's put it that
way.
It's always a burden that you're glad that it's done with. I think this budget this year was pretty good. You know, there's never any perfect budget, and you're never going to make everybody happy. But I do believe that getting five of us to vote yes is a good start. And when you look at what we did in the budget with hiring more personnel for fire and rescue and for the sheriff's department, you know, moving forward with capital projects and keeping the tax rate low, I think we did a good job with it.
You were, for the longest time, there were just a couple of you, but you really led the charge to not level fund the schools. Now at the end, right, that changed right at the last moment. But you, from the whole time, advocated that there was money to be had, and there was money that should go to schools.
Right, and I know over radio it's tough to think about numbers, but I'll try not to get into too many numbers. But basically, the county every year gets a certain amount of revenue from taxes, from local taxes. When you look at our budget is very large because we get a lot of federal and state money that is pass-through money. You know, so the feds say, here, you will get this money, but you must spend it on this. And the same with the state government. And so the amount of money that the county actually has that we can do anything with without restrictions is called the general fund. And so in that general fund, we typically bring in about $6 to $8 million in new revenue each fiscal year. Well, for the past 2 years, we've brought in more than that. And in fact, this year we brought in almost triple that, about $17 million. So the county administrator presents his budget to the Board of Supervisors and says, this is what I think the structure of the budget should be for next year. And then it's up to us to, you know, pick through that, you know, move things around, change priorities, and then cobble together enough votes to get those things done. And in that budget that he had presented was, as you said, zero new funding for the schools. Now, that doesn't mean they don't get any funding, and you hear this a lot from some people, and it's surprising they still don't understand how this works, is that when the state gives the schools money, just like with the county, there's strings attached. Mm-hmm. They direct that money to be spent in a certain way. And so the county is where the schools come to say, we want to do other things. And one of the biggest things that the schools need to do is adjust the teacher salary scale for compression, because they have not been able to move people up the salary scale for years because of lack of funding, mainly lack of funding from the locality. And what that does is that a lot of folks, and these are professionals that are looking over their career and realizing that they could perhaps make more money elsewhere. So, you know, in anybody's job, you do that. And so I don't fault them for that. I think it's up to us as the local government to make sure that our salary scales are competitive enough that we can keep good people so we can provide, you know, great service to our county.
And you did that a few years ago when fire and rescue,
right,
when there was a big well, concern.
And in fact, we did that off budget. See, fire and rescue and sheriff's department all came to us and said that they are losing so many people that we need to do something. Yeah. And it, you know, I hate to use the word crisis, but it was getting to that point. And so they presented us with an in-house salary scale adjustment, and we used one-time money to pay for ongoing expenses. And then in the next budget, which just happened to be the COVID year budget, 2021 fiscal year, we had to come up with the money to, you know, backfill what we had already, you know, agreed to pay, and then figure out how we would continue paying so that we could adjust those scales. And one of the things that you find out, and, you know, it's kind of common sense when you think about it, is that if we adjust our pay scales, Stafford will.
Yep.
And Orange will, and Caroline will, and Prince William does all the time anyway. And so it's a never-ending cycle. So we can't just be chasing Northern Virginia salaries, because we'll never get there at our tax rate, especially if, and, you know, nobody wants to go up to Northern Virginia tax rates. That's why we live here.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to make sure that you have the type of atmosphere that people not only want to work in, but stay here and continue their careers.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski is here. We're going to get into just to schools. There's a lot going on, obviously, there. A lot to be said, a few things to talk about, and we will do that when we come back this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. We'll be right back.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski in this morning. Chris from the Battlefield District. Well, you can't talk about Spotsylvania, unfortunately, anymore without the school board. I have people who, when I tell them that I live in Spotsylvania, they don't even live around here. They live sometimes two or three counties away, and that is the one that comes up. That's got to be concerning to you on just a number of levels. But I think to me anyway, Chris, and I worry just on whether it's finding a new superintendent, whether it's businesses who look at education in a locality, see that and see what the circus that it's become. And I'm concerned about that.
No, I am too. You know, I've basically grown up here, and my wife and I are raising my family here. You know, I have extended family that is here, and, you know, tons of friends and acquaintances, and, you know, in my role as an elected official, my goal is to leave the county better than I found it, and to do what I believe is right to make it better. And so when you see things happen like that, and this goes beyond partisan lines and partisan discussions, because I don't get into what the school board is doing once the decision is in their hands. You know, for example, if they come to the county with carryover money and they want to spend carryover money in a certain way, that's when you have the discussion. That's when you have the questions. But once you vote to send it to them, mm-hmm. it's up to them. You know, they're elected officials. They're held responsible to the same voters that voted me in to make those decisions and to be, you know, responsible for their votes. But beyond that, it's the theatrics that are going on that I think are obviously concerning, not only for, you know, our image and our image to businesses and to a superintendent, bless him or her, whoever decides to come here, because they're going to have their hands full. And I really hope and pray that we do get somebody good, because we need it. You know, this cannot continue. This needs to stop. We need to have somebody who will calm things down and will be a steady hand, because that's more important than this back and forth bickering and stupidity. But what the other concern that I do have too is that it's the morale that we have when it comes to our teaching staff and educators and bus drivers and everybody else in the system, and also our students. You mm-hmm. know, I'm stunned that some people will get out there and act like complete idiots and then complain that kids act, you know, in a disrespectful manner or in a, you know, a ridiculous manner, because you're setting the example. And so you need to stop behaving like that. There's passion, I get that, and there's a time and a place for that. But going beyond that and acting in the way that some people have is just, it's out of control, and it really does need to stop. But unfortunately, we don't have anybody out there on their side that is really taking the reins and saying, you know, we need to knock this off, run a meeting like you know how to run a meeting,
right?
And be professional. And if you win the vote, you win the vote. If you lose the vote, you do. But you know what? You're elected to represent the people.
Right. No, you see the stark contrast. Well, just even on the Board of Supervisors yeah. side, you have often in recent years been the one who has not been on the winning side on some of these votes. But you're not interrupting, or you're not doing the kinds of things that we see over and over.
Oh no. Well, you learn after a while is that you can't win everything, and so you do have to work with the other six members on the board. And so if you turn yourself into somebody that nobody wants to talk to, then you will get nothing accomplished. And then you really become ineffective for the people you're representing. And, you know, years ago, this is 6-7 years ago, we had a teacher that stood up and was talking at a board meeting. And she said that she didn't know how much money she made. She was basically referencing that, you know, she's there because she loves doing it. It's not there because she's nickel and diming, you know, the system. And somebody from the audience said, well, if you don't know how much you make, you shouldn't be the teacher.
Yep.
Which is and the chairman at the time gaveled her down. You know, it was a couple seconds too late, and he did apologize for that. But I came back the next meeting with a resolution and basically said, we apologize to the teacher for that happening to her, and we condemn this type of behavior, and we're not going to let it stand, because you need to stop it before it gets out of control. And if you don't, you have what is happening at the school board meetings, and, you know, it's not productive. Nothing gets accomplished, and, you know, it turns into a atmosphere that nobody wants to be involved in. And not only does it make us look bad, I think it sets a really bad example for the next generation, too.
It does for all the kids who were there. I never realized, after all the many, many years of covering local meetings, the importance of Robert's Rules of Order.
Yes.
And knowing how they operate. That started, right. that was what kind of got everything into the chaos that we've gotten into.
Right. And because even on an elected board, the minority still has the ability to be heard.
Yeah.
And when you run right over people that just because you don't agree with them, they're still an elected official. And this is something that people don't understand, especially about local government, is that you have seven members on our boards, and each member is as powerful as the next member. That's it. I have no more power than any other board member. And the only way that you get more power is by combining three more folks with me so that you have a voting majority. That's where the power comes in, is the collective vote of the four of us to get something accomplished. And so you need to listen to others. You need to hear what they have to say, even if you don't agree with them. You know, that's the way that you actually perhaps could make your mm-hmm. position even stronger or better or more clear to others, so that they understand where you're coming from.
You've expressed some concerns about, as far as perhaps the Board of Supervisors needs to become more involved with the way funding with schools, just because the school board majority has not carried through on some of their promises to the Board of Supervisors.
Right, and this started, so I'll lay it, and again, it's radio, so I don't have any charts to show you, but it's back in December when you had the old board, the new board, meaning the folks that got elected in November of last year, had not yet taken their seats. And so in December, the old board voted to spend carryover money, which was the school's money that they did not spend from the fiscal year that ended at the end of June of 2021. So they voted to spend it a certain way. It was $14 million total. $10 million was voted unanimously. The other $4 million was contentious and voted 4-3. That was sent to us. We were short one seat on the Board of Supervisors since Mr. Jett has passed away. And so all of our votes were dying 3-3. And so we eventually got up to a point where we can set a public hearing, because that's what you have to do. Any expenditures of money in a different way have to go through a public hearing. And so we set that up in March. Well, in that entire time, the new school board that took their seats in January had never publicly expressed to the board that they were going to do something different with that money. It comes to the meeting. Mr. McLaughlin had a different way of spending their money. And like I've said before, it's up to the school board to spend it. They tell us how they're going to spend it. It's up to them. Mm-hmm. Well, we voted for it. It was unanimous. It went over to the school board, and they actually did not do what they said they were going to do. And to me, you can, like I said, you can do anything that you would like to. You're the school board. I'm not going to get into your policy. I'm not going to micromanage you. But when you publicly say to us and to the voters, and you hold a public hearing so that the public can actually speak to these issues, and then you change it, that to me is not the right way to do things. That's very deceitful. And I'll continue to say that. And it goes beyond party. And this is why I think some of this stuff gets ridiculous, is that being honest and open and trustworthy and transparent is not a partisan issue. It should be the basis of what your elected officials are all about, because we should be honest and open and transparent and you know, upfront with the voters. And if we're not, we shouldn't be here. And so if you're going to act in that way, I'm going to continue to call you out, because it's just wrong. I don't care what party you are. I don't care who you mm-hmm. are. And as I had said in the post that you're referencing, a Facebook post that I had put up, in all of my years I've been on the board, I've never had a school board come to me, say, this is what we want to do, and then go back and completely change what they said they were going to do. And that, to me, is just wrong.
In the past, there's been categorical funding where mm-hmm. you control the amount of money going into a category. They can work it around in that category. Do you see right. that? Do you support doing something like that?
Honestly, I really don't want to. I really would hope and that the elected officials on the school board would realize their mistakes and would change their ways. You know, it's not very difficult to do what they need to do. You know, all that you do is you do what you're going to say. I mean, that's, you do that and all this goes away. Yeah. And so if they were to do that, I would back off and have no problem. But if they're going to continue to act in this way, you know, there's not much oversight that the Board of Supervisors has over the school board, but any oversight that we have, I think we need to use, because the taxpayers shouldn't be treated in this manner. And I'm hoping we don't go down that way, but hopefully they get the message and they change their ways.
I never have seen a situation, Chris, where you were at Board of Supervisors meetings now, where you have people coming to the board saying, please do something. And like yes. I said, you're not the school board.
Right. Well,
but they are representing the county and they're spending county money.
Right. And like I said, we don't have much oversight, and I don't want to get into nickeling and diming and going through every, you know, line item of their budget. Once their budget is set, it is up to them to be responsible for it. And so, you know, once they ask us for it, that's a totally different issue. And I will go through the budget and have a million questions. But once that is done, it's their responsibility, and they need to be held accountable. They're elected officials. They ran. They said they won these mm-hmm. positions. And they got elected, and if they're not going to do what they said that they were going to do, well, the voters, number one, need to know what they're doing, and number two, then they need to be held accountable for what they're doing.
When the search firm for a superintendent was meeting with them last week and said that everybody's known this, if a future superintendent's going to take a look, it's just all you have to do is Google Spotsylvania School Board, and the things that pop up I think would be concerning to anybody. That's a concern.
Yes, it will be.
And I hear so often, and the other concern is just the opening of schools in the fall, because mm-hmm. I know of a lot of teachers that are leaving, and some who've said that they know of others who haven't even made that known yet, and the number is already high.
Absolutely. And the problem that you have is that when you have an environment like this, and the superintendent absolutely is going to be a difficult issue and a difficult search, the teachers that you lose, sort of those ones that have been here for a number of years, mm-hmm. sort of are the, you know, the bedrock of their schools. you start losing them, you start losing a lot more than just a person in a classroom.
Yep.
And when that happens, you really will see the kids that take the hit. And I don't think that a lot of people have really thought that through. So if you want to, you know, attack, that's fine. If you want to be passionate, I guess that's fine. But why don't we get something accomplished as opposed to just, you know, yelling all the time about certain issues? And I'll tell you, you know, a lot of the issues I agree with. A lot of the stuff that's going on shouldn't go on in schools. But I'm about getting things accomplished, not just sitting there complaining about it to hear myself complain. And then, you know, you have a new school board that's in there, you know, let them, you know, take the reins and do what they need to do. But instead, they're, you know, not. And that it's frustrating in many ways, because I don't want to do their job at all. And I'm not about to do their job. It's up to them, because I'm not going to be held responsible for what they've done. But when they go out there and look for a superintendent, and you're right, you Google search, you know, I hope that we're able to get somebody, because we really need a good superintendent. And I don't want this to go on any longer. You know, they are going to have to pay more money for a superintendent. You know, they fired their last one, who, you know, good or bad, whatever you want to say, I'm not going to get into their reasons for doing it. It's their person that they hire and fire. But they were well below market value. And now you're going to put somebody into a situation that is contentious, to say the least. And then just with the market that is out there, you're going to have to find somebody that will do this, and will do this for a price that's going to be a heck of a lot more than what you were paying. So, you know, I hope it all goes smoothly, but something tells me it's going to be a little rocky before it smooths out.
Well, and the other thing is, I mean, you've still got kids and spouses. I mean, you have, besides besides being a Spotsylvania resident, and I as a Spotsylvania resident, you don't want to see this go on. But in your case, you've got kids in school.
Right. A daughter who's graduating this year and heading off to college. We're both very proud of her.
Where's she going? I think I've seen this, but I forgot.
Oh, UNCW.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah. So she'll be heading down there in the fall. And another daughter who is heading into high school. And so very much invested in it, not only with my own kids, but then also with friends and family and others who have kids all throughout the system and all different schools. And then folks I know there are teachers and friends of ours all throughout the system.
Yep.
That, you know, it's one thing to have a policy debate and to have a difference of opinion on doing it this way or doing it that way. That's one thing. It's another thing when you act in this way because you create a toxic environment and it's not helpful. People don't want to be here, and it really does trickle down to the main job of the school system, which is educating our kids. And when that is made more difficult, the ones that really suffer are the kids. And that's unacceptable.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski from the Battlefield District here. Quick break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:32.
Okay, listen. We got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg. A Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit GoEVMobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Jakubowski in this morning from the Battlefield District. The couple things as far as, well, we're going to move on to, we could spend the whole show talking about one topic, and
right,
you're not them, and so we're going to move on to some to some other things. As far as the VA hospitals going up, you talk about something that's going to make a difference, not only to the region but to the county. It's that VA hospital, and you can see, every time I go by, I'm on Hood Drive and look over, boy, that thing is going to be massive.
It is. It's a great addition to the county. It's a great asset for our veterans. And it's also going to be a job creator, too. And hopefully the other thing that it does in addition would be to kind of clean up the Route 1 corridor. You've seen it a little bit with the new Chick-fil-A that came in when Royal Farms came in. We still have some other issues along that corridor. But we've been working with the planning department over the years to do what we could in-house because I'm not one of these people that likes to hire outside consultants all the time to do a plan. Everybody will do a plan, and you got a million plans. You have a bookshelf filled with plans that actually never get executed. So instead of doing that, we decided to go in-house, see what we could do through our planning staff to find a way that we could actually enhance that area, because it is really the gateway to Spotsy. You get off of 126, you go south. You have traffic, and it's kind of a mess, but at least it looks nice. You know, you have newer businesses and whatnot, but you go north, and it definitely needs help. So there's a lot of road improvements coming in that area, especially because of the VA hospital, VA clinic, because it's only going to be open 8 to 5. It's, it's not an overnight facility. But in that, you'll have a lot of medical buildings coming up and sprouting up around there to do the next step in the patient care that will be needed. So that will definitely help in that area. And another thing that we had done in past couple of years was set up a an area, and it's basically around the VA clinic, and we had staff draw it up. So any of the new improvements that get done in that area and new tax revenue that is generated, we don't lose tax revenue, so you have a base. So whatever, you know, this property was paying in taxes, they still will pay. But any new taxes from a certain calendar year on, that new money will go into a fund to fund the transportation fixes in that area. Because it's going to be costly. There's a lot. I mean, I drive it every day, and lots and lots of people know that there's a lot of improvements that are needed.
Yeah.
And they're very costly. So once those start coming online and we have to pay for them, we have to find a way to do it. So this is one of the ways, in addition to developer money or state money that might be coming down the pike.
Now, when you talk about when people do get off there and to see that, just to see that, because we've had family and friends, you know, and a lot of times that's where they'll get off, and their first comment is, wow, you know, this is your county. And it's like, it's not all like that.
Right. Yeah. It's, you know, just keep driving. It gets better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, there's a lot of businesses along there that actually are doing quite well. You know, there's, and I don't want to name them because I'll miss some and they'll be mad. But there are a few up there that have been there for a while and, you know, do a very nice business and keep everything looking good. And we want to build on that. So we want to work together with everybody in that corridor to make sure that it's improved. And like I said, there's a lot of improvements that are coming. We just found out that the some matching funds for this from the state are going to be coming for the Germana connection. So by the old Capital One buildings over to Germana, you'll have a parallel road to Route 1 that will alleviate a lot of that traffic in the Massaponics area. So hopefully that will be, well, it is on the books, and it's moving closer and closer to starting that up. You have a lot of these projects that are going to be happening so that we can get traffic moving a little bit. It's never going to be perfect. You're always going to have, traffic to a certain degree. But one of the things that you really need is a way for people to avoid and different ways for them to go, which will then spread out the flow. So you don't always need 6 or 8 lane highways. You might need just more connection roads to get people moving.
Yeah, that Germanic, that's been talked about for a while, and that would be a huge thing to change. And when you think about it, you think of that, you think of Germana over in that area, you think of the VA clinic. That whole area in the next little bit is really going to become really a centerpiece of Spotsylvania.
Yes, absolutely. You know, the VA hospital or clinic will be bringing in, you know, hundreds and hundreds of jobs. And that right there, and good paying jobs too, and that's very beneficial for our locality, and all of the spinoff business that you'll have too. That will be creating a lot of jobs too. So you put that all together, I think it's definitely a plus, not only for our county, but you know, number one, it's for our veterans, so they don't have to drive all the way up north, south, or even, you know, southwest or northwest. but you can get the care that, that you need. And it's also good for our region too, because it you know, all the stuff that we do together. You know, Stafford gets Amazon, good for them. You know, I would prefer everything to be here, but that's just not possible.
Yep.
But it goes to Stafford. That's beneficial for all of us. And, you know, I applaud them and what they're doing. And they're trying to bring in business because, you know, these lines that we have, while, you know, geographically they're there, we work together on so many things, and we need to work together on so many things because our region needs to benefit. And the more our region benefits, the better it is for everybody. And so I you know, applaud them for the things that they're doing. And I know we work, you know, compete, I should say, against each other for some of these projects. But, you know, when it comes down and the region gets it, it's just beneficial for all of us.
A little further down the road, and this is really in the early stages, but Kalahari has expressed an interest in a Spotsylvania site, where when that was talked about in the city a few years ago, that looked like a terrific addition to the region. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Again, it's real early, and they're still in the it hasn't even gotten to the planning commission yet.
Right. No, they just submitted some interest in doing it, some plans to the planning department. So it's going to go through the process. I know that you know, it's been talked about for quite a while, and like you had said, it was going to be going up into Central Park and or Celebrate Virginia. And so now that it's down in the Thornburg area, you know, there's different issues and concerns.
Yep.
That, you know, we'll go through all of those as we would with any business or any rezoning that would come up, and, you know, make sure that whatever project is coming to the board and whatever project actually gets voted on, if it gets voted up or down, if it gets voted up especially, that the details are looked at and that it is a good project for the county. But, you know, we're quite a ways from that, but it will be here shortly. And I know that staff, our planning staff, is going to do, it's going to be a lot of work for them. So we have some really good people that will do a great job. And I'm sure we'll be back here talking about it.
I'm sure it'll come up a few times.
Yeah,
the other thing is, as we look at, and I know this was talked about, and it's kind of in the background, is any local government this spring put together a budget? Just the whole thought of when you just look nationally at inflation of what it is. I mean, there's a lot of underlying concerns. The economy so far has held up nationally, but I guess that's something that on the local level that you do have to keep an eye on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, the biggest concern that you have is to make sure that your local government is doing the things that it should do. And, you know, the services that need to be provided are done by us. You know, the federal government really doesn't do that. That's why we have a system of federalism. And they are set out to do the job that they're supposed to do. The state does the job they're supposed to do, and then we do everything else. And when it comes to inflation, when it comes to, you know, the situation in the country, you absolutely have to keep your eye on it, because you don't want to overextend yourself, and you don't want to put your county into a position where, you know, you have to either cut services dramatically or raise taxes in a ridiculous fashion.
Yeah.
To continue doing what you're doing. So, and I've said this for a very long time, it's about spending. You need to make sure that, number one, your priorities are funded. And it's, for me, it's public safety and education are your two top priorities. And then everything from there, it trickles down. You need to make sure, you know, for example, when you go in to get a building permit, that's the turnaround time on that is reasonable. Those are the type of things that people don't like to talk about, because it's not interesting. You know, no offense to our planning department, but and builders, it's just not what people think of. But it's very crucial to making sure that your county performs in the manner that it needs to. And, you know, social services is another one, and transportation, even though it's a state responsibility, the county has gotten into it so much. Those are all pieces to the larger puzzle that you need to make sure that you are moving it all forward, you know, together, to make sure that it works well. Because, you know, if one of those things, you know, sort of falls apart, it has a ripple effect, and you really want to make sure that the services that the county needs are provided in an efficient manner.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Yakubowski here. We'll take a one final break and be back on News Talk 1230 WF.
Opinions, we've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by EB Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
Spotsylvania Supervisor Chris Yakubowski in this morning. One of the things is as we drive around and we see it in Stafford, we see it in Spotsylvania, we see it in the city. Growth is everywhere. You though have been one person, and I will say, and I have said this to people as people complain about there's too much growth around here. Over the years, and I don't have the numbers. I'm hoping you do. As far as how you have voted on some of these projects, because you many times are the one vote when there's a no vote on a lot of these projects.
Right. Well, either the one or the two. It seems like for a long time there, all you had to do was put something in front of the board and it got voted, in the affirmative. And that's not to say that growth is not good. We do want growth. If you're not growing, and you're, especially if you're contracting, that's the worst thing to happen. And for us to be a place that people want to come to and live, that is a positive thing. I think that not only our location, but all the other things that previous boards have done for generations before me and decades before me really have laid that foundation of being a desirable county. And so we want to continue that. Unfortunately, in some ways, it's really veered off what it should have been. And when it comes to growth, I have a simple philosophy I developed over the years, so a rezoning comes forward, which means that a person, developer, whoever it might be, wants to do something different with their property than the way it's currently zoned. Fine. I have no problem with that. Whatever they want to do, though, there needs to be a benefit for the county, meaning that if we didn't do this rezoning, there would be something that would be harmful or it would be more taxing on the citizens, whatever that might be. And so as you work along through this process, you come up with a way that the landowner actually benefits and the developer, will what they're doing. But then also the county residents will benefit too. And here's an example. On Mine Road, right past Falcon Drive, on the left-hand side, if you're going east, the property that was there was zoned for medical office buildings back in 2010, somewhere around there, with zero proffers, meaning zero improvements to the road structure, no turn lanes, nothing like that.
Yeah.
And so it sat idle for many years. Well, now you have the VA clinic just down the road. That VA clinic down the road is going to need medical office buildings. Well, you have it already zoned, ready to roll. Well, the problem that you have is you're going to have to pick up the cost of the improvements to that area, and that will then be on the taxpayer. Well, somebody purchased that land, and they came forward, and they said that they wanted to put age-restricted villas there, housing. And so that was a rezoning, so it had to come through us. Well, the positive thing for the county is commercial is more traffic than residential, and this would reduce the traffic by 90-something percent. It'll put turn lanes, and they gave, I think it was $250,000 towards traffic improvements in that area. So I supported that. That right there shows that you can work with the development community to make sure that a positive project gets done in the county.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that the General Assembly legislation has also hampered localities just with proffers lately too, and that's put a lot of projects in.
Yes, and that's a whole nother show.
I was going to say it's a very political show there, and yes. with everything that is going on. So, well, thank you, Chris. Thanks for coming in and chatting about this. There's again a number of things going on right now. And again, as always, you always are available either on you've got a Facebook account that you answer constituents' questions. You are one local official that you have no problem, whether it's this show or any show, coming in and addressing comments that are made.
Oh, as I like to say, I like to talk. So I'm glad you don't have a gavel. All you have is a button. You'll shut off my microphone.
But I never thought about that. A gavel. That maybe is the thing. I could use a gavel.
Yes, that would be interesting.
That would be very interesting. Yeah. Chris Jakubowski from the Spotsylvania Board of Supervisors.
Thank you.
From the Battlefield District. Does your district change a lot with redistricting?
Yes, it did. I lost a lot. It's up on my Facebook page if you want to take a look at the lines and see if I'm your representative anymore or not.
Okay.
Yep.
Chris, thanks. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
That's it. Thank you for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.